Today's sermon is kind of different. And it's one of the most difficult situations to handle. And buddy, it is. I will tell you a little bit what happened to me. And maybe at the end of the service, in the comments, you can tell me what happened to you. It's very difficult. Well, stand. I'll read 1 Samuel 12:10. And they, referring to the Israelites, cried unto the Lord and said, "We," which is the Israelites, "have sinned, because we," Israelites, "have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us," the Israelites, "out of the hand of our," that's the Israelites' enemies, and this was at that time Hazar, the Philistines, and Moab, "and we," the Israelites, "will serve thee," the Lord God of Israel. You may be seated. You might recall that this was the verse that Harold used in his last message. I thought it was appropriate also for this lesson. A modern updating of this verse would be, "and they," the worldwide Israel nations, which would be United States, Britain, Ireland, Scotland, Scandinavia, Germany, so forth, Australia, "cried unto the Lord and said, 'We," the worldwide Israel nations, "have sinned, because we," the worldwide Israel nations, "have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us," the worldwide Israel nations, "out of the hand of our," the worldwide Israel nations, "enemies." That's the Jews, descendants of Esau, Canaan, and Cain. "And we," the worldwide Israel nations, "will serve thee," the Lord God of Israel. Who were the gods Baal and Ashtaroth that our ancient fathers worshipped? Are these the same gods that are worshipped today? Will the prayer be repeated by ancient Israel's children? I looked up Baal, and it said, worshipped in ancient Palestine and recognized as local deities of specific regions, who were believed to control fertility, rain, and crops. Holidays celebrated with this god included Halloween, Lent, and Christmas. Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth, or Astarte, or Ishtar, is a corrupted derivative of the Canaanite Phoenician goddess of love and fertility. She was known as the Queen of Heaven. Holidays celebrated with this goddess included Easter. What did these last sentences say? Well, when as a young adult Christian, I heard this startling news, it was startling to me, I thought, what was I to do? I pondered this question for several years and decided that I didn't want to keep any holidays that are not in the Bible. But as I attempted to refrain from celebrating these holidays, I was met with mild hostility from my family, friends, and practically the entire society. My parents argued that it was a time of family get-togethers besides a religious holiday. And after much discussion, we finally arrived at a compromise. I would arrange to come home and join the family at the Christmas dinner, which included their Christmas gift giving to each other, but I wouldn't give or receive any Christmas gifts. But my parents still gave me gifts, not as many as before, but they gave me at least one gift. That was the way that it was until they died. Ever since then, my wife and daughter, and I am fortunate that they quickly agreed with me, have had nothing to do with these holidays for almost four decades after both sets of parents died. This sermon is my view on which holidays or holy days are truly not Christian and why. It is my opinion and is not meant to cause anyone to be offended. It's not personal, it is factual. But it is one of the most difficult subjects to approach a family member or a close friend on. If you didn't have to do it, you don't know what I'm talking about. And one must approach them on this subject if you don't want to participate in all the activities of these two major celebrations, Christmas and Easter. When one learns that the Jews are not the covenant seed of Abraham, but we are, then that changes the person's religious world entirely. For the next step is to examine the holidays that the person may have kept their whole life and decide if they should keep them. The rest of this sermon is to explain why I do not celebrate the so-called Christian holidays of Christmas and Easter. What about the verse in Acts 12? Acts 12, 3 and 4. And because he is King Herod, the Edomite, saw it pleased the Jews, that's the Edomite Judeans, he, King Herod, the Edomite, proceeded further to take Peter, he was the apostle. Also, then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he, King Herod, the Edomite, had apprehended him, that's the apostle Peter, he, King Herod the Edomite, put him, the Apostle Peter, in prison and delivered him, the Apostle Peter, to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, the Apostle Peter, intending after Easter to bring him, the Apostle Peter, forth to the people. Israel's history is full of examples where most of God's people worship the wrong holidays or holy days. One example would be the house of Israel. That's the northern 10 tribes, who for almost one millennium forsook the temple of God built by King Solomon and built two temples in their kingdom to replace God's temple in Jerusalem. And that was less than 20 years after it was finished. Number two, they forsook the covenant made with King David, that David's descendants would be the only ones qualified to be kings over Israel, and replaced it with kings from other tribes. Number three, they forsook the Levites as being the only ones allowed to be priests in Israel, and replaced them with priests from the other tribes. They forsook the God of Israel and replaced him with gods from other nations. And number five, they forsook the celebration of the feast days that the God of Israel had given them and replaced them with days that were similar but were kept on other days. The first king of the house of Israel, King Jeroboam, of the tribe of Ephraim, blended religions, making a new worship system. As an example, King Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month instead of the 15th day of the 7th month, when tabernacles was celebrated by the kingdom of Judah. But as this new feast day that Jeroboam personally devised was a vile affront to Almighty God. For his counterfeit religion remained infamous, the Bible repeatedly calling him the one, quote, who had made Israel to sin, unquote. And there's three scriptural references. The house of Israel never turned back from this evil, even 200 years later, and God sent national captivity as judgment. 2 Kings 17, verses 22 and 23. For the children of Israel, walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, the first king of the 10-tribe house of Israel, which he, Jeroboam, did. They, the children of the 10-tribe kingdom, departed not from them, the false religion set up by King Jeroboam, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria until this day. They were divorced, kicked out. The Israelites were cut off from the anointed seed for over seven centuries. That's 700 years. Until they were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and rejoined with the kingdom of Judah back into the covenant made with their father Abraham. The Bible tells us that we should never replace the worship system that God gave our fathers with some alternative practice. It won't be acceptable to him. As we read in Deuteronomy 12, 30 and 31, we must adopt nothing that originated in false worship, being careful to follow exactly what God says to do. The house of Israel was the prodigal son of the parable that our Savior gave. Deuteronomy 12, 30, 31. Take heed to thyself, Israelites, that thou, Israelites, be not snared by following them. That's the nations which they conquered and now possess where they live, the seven Canaanite nations. After that day, the Canaanites be destroyed from before thee, Israel. And that thou, Israel, inquire not after their Canaanite gods, saying, how did these nations serve their Canaanite gods? Even so will I, the Israelite, do likewise. Thou, Israelite, shall not do so unto the Lord thy Israelite God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, have they, the Canaanites, done unto their Canaanite gods, and even their Canaanite sons and their Canaanite daughters, they Canaanites have burnt in the fire to their Canaanite gods. Well, that's something else. What are the holidays of Catholics and Protestants? Most Judeo-Christians and others in Christendom are unaware that there were churches that opposed the Catholic Church before the Protestant Reformation began. The Waldensians were one group out of several that were taught by the apostles, and they maintained their faith for about two millenniums. That's 2,000 years. The Reformers held that the Waldensian Church was formed about 120 A.D., from which date on they passed down from father to son the teachings they received from the apostles. The Waldensians differed in many ways from Roman Catholic doctrine and asserted that Christmas and Easter were brought into Christianity by the Catholic Church. They separated from the Romanists as they differed on many of the church's sacraments, like the Eucharist, and were therefore harshly punished by the Catholics from the 1200s to the 1600s. And when I say harshly punished, they were killed in the most horrible way. The children were thrown over the cliff. The heads were bashed into the cliff. It was brutal. The Waldensians still exist today, primarily in the Piedmont region of Italy. The Catholic Mass has been the dividing point of many non-Catholic religions, for the Eucharist finds its roots in the worship practices of ancient Judaism. The Catholics believe that the early Christians, most who they say were Jewish, naturally incorporated these elements into their gatherings. The Last Supper celebrated by Jesus during Passover, further tied the Mass to Jewish traditions, as it was a ritual meal with prayer and blessings. Eucharistic prayers of the Mass echo the Jewish Baraka, a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing over bread and wine. This connection, the Catholics say, highlights the continuity between the two testaments. Catholics also firmly believe that the liturgy of the Eucharist is the heart of the Mass, where Christ becomes present in the bread and wine. The Mass begins with the preparation of the gifts, where bread and wine were brought to the altar. The priest recites prayers rooted in Jewish blessings. Then through the Eucharistic prayer, consecrates the bread and wine. Catholics hold that after the priest gives his prayer, the elements, the unleavened bread and natural wine, become the actual body and blood of Christ. My goodness. Christmas, according to history books, was first celebrated in the 4th century in the Roman Empire, when the Roman Catholic Church had its beginning. A special Mass was said for Christ on December 25th. But when did the Protestants start to celebrate this holiday? A few Protestant denominations, like the Lutherans and Anglicans, kept Christmas early on. But many others, specifically the Puritans, the Quakers, the Anabaptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Congregationalists, and others, banned or rejected this holiday until the late 19th century. Historically, many Protestant groups did not celebrate Christmas or Easter, viewing them as popish, that means Roman Catholic, or pagan-rooted inventions. But over time, they were readopted by the cultural trends and traditions rather than biblical ideologically. What? Many Protestant churches did not celebrate Christmas until about 150 years ago. Are Christmas and Easter Christian? In our scripture reading in the book of Acts 12, 3 and 4, who was King Herod? Who was mentioned? He was Herod Agrippa, the son of Aristobulus, grandson of Herod the Great, nephew of Herod Antipas, who murdered John the Baptist. It was that Herod Agrippa did something that pleased his fellow Edomite Jews. What did he do? He put the Apostle Peter in prison. This was the third time that Peter was arrested. He was given to the Quatorians, the soldiers, to keep him, which were four Roman soldiers that guarded him in six-hour shifts. He was chained to two of the soldiers and watched by the other two. As the Bible says, Herod attended after Pasha to bring him, the Apostle Peter, forth to the people. Does the Greek word Pascha mean Easter? The word is translated 29 times in the New Testament, correctly as Passover 28 times, and only one time translated as Easter. I think King James is a little corrupt. In their commentary on the whole Bible, Jameson Fawcett Brown made this comment on Acts 12:4, quote, intending after Easter. Rather, after the Passover. That is, after the whole festival was over. The word in our King James Version is an ecclesiastical term of later date and ought not to have been employed here. But there is something else in these two verses that most in Christendom just ignore. What is it? In verse 3, it says that these were the days of unleavened bread. And in verse 4, it says that after Easter. Herod would bring forth to the people during the days of unleavened bread after Easter. Here is the question that needs to be answered. How are the days of unleavened bread connected to Easter? When I celebrated Easter, the church that I was a member of never mentioned anything about the days of unleavened bread. In fact, everyone in our church just ignored those days or said they were Jewish feast days and just deserved what we believe was the Christian holiday of Easter. It was many years later that I learned how one was to keep the days of unleavened bread. To celebrate the days of unleavened bread, you had to cast out of your home all leavened products and only eat unleavened bread for 7 days. I tried to do this one year. What a disaster that was. The Feast of Unleavened Bread goes back to when Israel suddenly was freed from slavery in Egypt and had to leave as soon as possible. They did not have any time for any bread that they had before they left to leaven. But the Baptist churches that I was a member of wrongly believed it was the Jews who were the Israelites of the Old Testament, not the people they are impersonating, true, pure-blooded Israelites. I was unaware at that time that the word Jews is not found anywhere in the Scriptures until the book of 2 Kings. Almost all commentaries are unanimous on the translation of Pascha as Easter as being unfortunate and absurd. The translation was a deliberate mistake made by the translators, and almost all commentaries go on to say that Easter was a pagan festival observed long before Christ was born. Easter is not a Christian name, but is derived from Ishtar, one of the Babylonian titles of an idol goddess, the Queen of Heaven. There is a Roman Catholic church within 2 miles of our church, go that way, that identifies Mary, the mother of Jesus, with the same title, the Queen of Heaven. On the road to the airport. The commentaries go on and say that Easter, Christmas, Lady Day, Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, Lent, Halloween, and other Babylonian festivals were all borrowed from the Babylonian religion and were all observed centuries before the birth of Christ. None of these holidays have any relationship to Christ, Jesus, or Christianity. What? So are the commentaries right or wrong? Each person must decide for themselves. The small, independent, Calvinistic, pro-Scofield Bible Baptist Church taught me the truth about Christmas and Easter, but left me with an indefensible position. For we believe that the Jews celebrate the feast days of God that are in the Bible, plus a few of their own, like Hanukkah and Purim, while the mainstream Christians worship pagan holidays, and we, Gentile Calvinistic Christians, didn't worship any holidays or holy days at all. We failed to understand something. We failed to understand, like most in Christendom, that there were two different nations that were in the womb of their mother, Rebecca. Two different nations. We failed to correctly identify who were the descendants of Jacob Israel, who was one twin, and who were the descendants of Esau, the other twin. Therefore, this independent, Calvinistic, pro-Zionist Baptist church knew what holidays were fraudulent, but holy days were the so-called Gentiles to keep? The answer was, There weren't any. What is the Mass? The Mass, or Eucharist, is practiced in the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Catholic Church. The bread is unleavened, and the drink is natural wine, for they believe correctly that the Last Supper was held during the Passover season. The word Mass is strictly a Catholic word, and so is Christ's Mass, or the Mass of Christ, or as it is now popularized into one word, Christmas, short for Christ's Mass. It would stand to reason that the so-called non-Catholic denominations hate the Catholic Mass, because the Catholics believe that the Mass, or Eucharist, becomes the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ after the priest prays over the two elements in the communion. They slaughtered the Waldensians for this belief. If they hate the Mass, why wouldn't they hate the special yearly Mass of Christ, Christ's Mass or Christmas? But instead, the non-Catholics love and support this special day of the year. In fact, I would say that Christmas is the Sabbath of America, as more businesses, schools, restaurants, merchants, gas stations, grocery stores, factory, etc., are closed than any other day in the entire year. At Christmas, December 25th, although the Orthodox Catholics celebrated on January the 7th, has become the great homecoming day when almost all non-Catholics become Catholic for a day. Christmas has become nationwide in the United States that many of its people, 85% of its people, celebrate this holiday. A growing number of Americans say Christmas has been secularized or evolved into a non-religious holiday. But deciding where religious Christmas, expressed with hymns for the season, nativity plays and midnight mass ends, and secular Christmas, Santa Claus and his reindeer, Christmas trees and secular songs of the season, begins is a slippery task. Many Christians put up Christmas lights and Christmas decorations, have a Christmas tree, play Christmas music. Many of the popular songs are written by Jews. Gave Christmas gifts and Christmas cards and say Merry Christmas to each other. Since the word Mass in religious usage means a death sacrifice, the impact of this fact is horrifying and shocking. For when the millions of people are saying Merry Christmas, they are unaware that they are literally saying Merry Death of Christ. What is so joyful? Why is Santa? Well, he didn't become popular in the United States until the mid-19th century, doing his ho-ho-hos. Where does Santa's nine reindeer come from? Why does this God in a red suit go down the chimneys? What about people who live in homes or apartments that have no chimneys? How does all this wise, kind man know if each child is good or bad? How does he go to every home in the entire planet in one day? And why, if it's Jesus' birthday, do everyone give gifts one to another and not to the one whose birthday they say it is? But if none of the apostles, disciples, or early church members ever attended a Christmas service or a mass, why is it done now? In essence, the mass is the ceremonious slaying of Jesus Christ repeatedly, followed by the eating of his flesh, which is unscriptural, if it were true, and the drinking of his blood, which is unbiblical, if it were true. That's called transubstantiation. The point that Christmas is really the Mass of Jesus Christ is a very interesting point. That's what us Baptists didn't know back then. My grandmother, on my mother's side, was a member of one of the Southern Baptist churches, which hated the Roman Catholic Church, and vice versa. But her fiancé was Irish Catholic. Grandma refused to sign the papers that their children would be raised Catholic. This was common in those days. And her fiancé agreed to disregard what his church said, and he was disowned by his Catholic family, got kicked out of the Catholic Church, but they got married. But here is the point. I don't think Grandma knew that Christmas was the Mass of Christ. For if she knew this, why would she keep this holiday? She wouldn't. She was deceived. What day was Jesus born? Are there any other foreign gods that were born on December 25th? There are 365 or 366 days in one year on our calendar. Why would Jesus be born along with at least nine other pagan gods on December 25th? The God of Israel is a jealous God. Why is December 25th not the correct day of his birth? Well, we've got over here Hermes, Buddha, Krishna, Horus, Hercules, Adonis, Dionysus, I can't say his name, Zarathustra, oh, there's Jesus, Mithras, and Tammuz, all born on the same day. So they say. Now there is one way to find out when the birth of Jesus the Christ occurred, is to find when John the Baptist was conceived and then add 15 months from that date. For Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit when John the Baptist was 6 months in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. So, John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. Starting when John the Baptist was conceived, 6 months later, Jesus was conceived. And then 9 months later, Jesus was born. Mathematically, from the time of John the Baptist's miracle conceivement to the birth of our Savior would be 15 months. So when Mary visited Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant, when Mary got conceived, plus 9 months to the birth of her son is 15 months. Now, have you ever wondered what these two women, who were cousins, Mary and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist and the mother of Jesus Christ, what they talked about and did during those 3 months that they lived together? Wouldn't that be fantastic? The Bible doesn't reveal anything about this. Zechariah, John's priestly father, served in the temple with the priestly division of Abijah, which was the 8th and 16th of 24 courses. This would place his service, according to Israel's ancient calendar, during the 10th week of the year. That would make it in March, wouldn't it? No, not according to the calendar used by ancient Israel. The Hebrew calendar's new year begins in the spring, and not in the beginning of winter. As part of the division of Abijah, Zechariah served during the first 2 weeks of June, or the 10th week of the cycle. While he was on duty, he was chosen by lot, a once-in-a-lifetime honor, to enter the temple and burn incense. During this service, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and announced the future birth of his son, John the Baptist. 15 months after this event happened, would make it September, October, when Jesus was born. Many say it was on the Day of Atonement, but no one knows exactly for sure. But it was not December 25th. And has the average Christian ever thought about this? Easter is held in the spring in the northern hemisphere, but in the fall in the southern hemisphere. Christmas is held in the winter in the northern hemisphere, in the summer in the southern hemisphere. When I went to Australia, the Christmas season, it was the beginning of summer. Yikes! The calendars are different. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt when he designated spring as the beginning of the new year, and he also instigated Passover. Exodus 12:2, this month, Abib or Nisan, shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. On the 10th day of the first month, the Israelites were instructed to choose them a one-year-old male lamb with no blemishes and kill it as it approached the end of the 14th day. It was later afternoon. At sunset, it would be the 15th day of Nisan. They were to put the blood of the slain lamb on the doorposts and lintels of the door, and then roast the whole lamb and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs that evening, which was called Passover, as the death angel passed over the homes that had the blood of the slain lambs on the doorpost. Get this. No racial stranger, uncircumcised male, or foreigner, or hired servants were permitted to eat of it. Only the congregation of Israel was allowed to eat the Passover. Acts 12:43. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of Passover. There shall no racial stranger eat thereof. Are the meals served at Easter and Passover the same? No, they are different. Passover served roasted lamb with bitter herbs, eggs, fruit, vegetables, and unleavened bread. Easter serves mainly ham, which comes from the unclean animal, the pig. Some also include lamb, eggs, boiled, dyed, and deviled, hot cross buns, which is leavened, carrot cake, which is leavened, lemon-flavored desserts, potato salad, and so forth. Passover has strict regulations on leavened food, while Easter does not. Passover focuses on the narrative of slavery to freedom, while Easter focuses on the resurrection. The first Passover meal was shortly after the slaying of the sacrificial lamb. The lamb was slain around 3 p.m., while the meal was eaten that evening, which should be the 15th of Nisan on their calendar. While the Easter meal is eaten 3 days, or a day and a half, after the crucifixion of their Savior. Here's the calendar. First month, 14th day. Killed at 3 p.m., buried there. Now, when's he resurrected? The church really has him killed on Friday. This is Passover. 1, 2, 3. Rises right before sunset, which is our Sunday. Which is their Sunday, our Saturday night. If you want to study this, you can go to our website, get this. The calendar will drive you insane. Jesus was buried right before the first day of the Sabbath, of the first day of unleavened bread. That'd be right before our Wednesday night, which is beginning of the first fifth day of the week. If Jesus was in the tomb 3 days and three nights, that's 72 hours, right before their first day of the week, which is also a Sabbath day, then he would have been resurrected Saturday night, right before the first day of the week, our Saturday night, Sunday at midnight. Are you confused yet? Israel's calendar was very different than ours. It began at sunset and not midnight. So, for example, Passover began at sunset on the 14th of Nisan, was over the next sunset. At around 3 p.m., the sacrificial lambs were slaughtered, and their blood was put on the doorpost of the Israelite homes. And that evening, the death angel appeared and spared, passed over every Israelite, for they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. The death angel conversely killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, for they had no sacrificial blood to save them. So much for universalism. That night, which would be the beginning of Nisan 15, was the first day of unleavened bread, when they were commanded to depart Egypt. They had no time to make any leavened bread, for they had to take unleavened bread on their hasty journey. On the last day of unleavened bread, the seventh day, they crossed the Red Sea. Oh, so the Feast of Unleavened Bread was always attached to Passover and never to Easter. Well, what do most commentaries and the internet say about Christmas and Easter? Here's from Vine's Complete Oppository Dictionary. It says that the term Easter is not of Christian origin. Not me saying it. That's Vine's Complete Oppository Dictionary. It is another form of Asterisk, one of the titles of the Chaldean goddess, the Queen of Heaven. The festival of Pasch, held by Christians in post-apostolic times, was a continuation of ancient Jewish Israelite feast, but was not instituted by Christ, nor is it connected with Lent. From this Pasch, the pagan festival of Easter was quite distinct and was introduced in the apostate Western religion as part of the attempt to adopt pagan festivals to Christianity. If you type into your computer, is Christmas a celebration of the Eucharist? You will get an AI answer that says, quote, yes, Christmas is a celebration of the Eucharist. What if you don't celebrate the Eucharist? In Catholic and many Christian traditions, Christmas is fundamentally a celebration of the Eucharist, as the name literally means Christ Mass. It commentaries the incarnation, Christ becoming man, and is celebrated through the Eucharistic sacrifice, where believers recognize Christ's presence in the bread and the wine, continuing the mystery of his birth. Because sharing at the Eucharistic table is a sign of unity in the body of Christ, only those in communion with the Catholic Church may receive Holy Communion. To invite others to receive Holy Communion implies a unity which does not exist. If you type into your computer, and I give you what you type in, and you look on the title, what does Christmas mean? One will read the following. The word Christmas comes from Christ Mass. At its heart, Christmas is a liturgical celebration centered on the Eucharist, where Catholics gather to give thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ. What most non-Catholics do not know is that every Catholic can have a special day like Christ has. That is their own Christ Mass. I discovered this. I'll tell you how he discovered it. He can have a special Eucharist for himself. I first became aware of this when I went to the wake of a Catholic friend of mine whose father had just died. Next to the father's coffin was a box with a note on top of it that said, offering for the deceased to have a Eucharist given to him in the near future. I didn't see one. It's your mother's. I asked my friend what this sign meant. He said that if enough money is given, then the Roman Church will give his deceased father a special mass for him, get this, to lessen his days, he has to serve in purgatory. What? I thought Martin Luther had straightened this out, but I guess I was mistaken. Because souls in purgatory cannot pray for themselves, they rely entirely on the prayers and sacrifice of the living, especially the Mass. Purgatory is defined by the Catholic Church as a purification to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joys of heaven. Most Catholics believe that most of their people go to purgatory first before they enter heaven. They could be in purgatory for a long time if they do possess the necessary perfection that is needed. Yikes. Then I found another one. Another article, 20 Ways to Get into the Christmas Spirit. This is for Catholics. Here's what it said. Number one, set up an Advent wreath. Two, attend daily Mass of Adoration. Start a Jesse tree. Pray the St. Andrew Christmas Novena. Simplify your gift giving. Host a nativity play. Serve the poor. Go to confession. Pray a family rosary. That's all the beads you bring. Decorate with religious symbols. Sing Christmas carols with a purpose. Meditate on the O Automaphons, whatever that is. Practice daily acts of kindness. Attend a Rortus Celi Mass. Create a Posada experience. Dedicate a day to St. Nicholas. Foster gratitude. Incorporate sacred music. Share the Christmas spirit offline and spend time with the lonely. They say that Christmas is a season of hope, joy, and love. By focusing on Christ, serving others, and embracing Catholic traditions, one can cultivate a deeper, more meaningful celebration. Mercy, mercy. Are any other Christian holidays valid? Christmas and Easter are God's holidays, as well as all the days leading up to them both. Like Ash Wednesday, we put ashes on their forehead. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Lent, Epiphany, and Pentecost, or Whitsun Day, etc. Wait a minute. Isn't it Pentecost in the Bible? It sure is. Pentecost means 50. 50 days after the resurrection. But the Christian church does something unusual with the Mass as they celebrate Pentecost, which they say was the beginning of the church. They say that Pentecost was 7 weeks or 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. How do they do that? They count the first day as inclusive. They say the resurrection was on Sunday, and the day of Pentecost was also on Sunday. That's only 49 days, not 50. Pentecost was 50 days from the waving of the first fruits, which occurred at the time of Jesus' death, which was very late on the seventh day and very early on the first day of the week. 7 weeks later, and one day later, a double Sabbath, 48 hours, occurred each year in the Israelite calendar. I suggest you study this because anybody says we're worshiping on the wrong day, here's what you say to them. How many Christians do you think know about this two-day Sabbath, 48-hour Sabbath? For it would change our Sabbath day each year. For example, if it was Saturday this year, it'd be Sunday the next year. And the next year to Monday, the next year to Tuesday. So what day of the week should we meet? I say any day out of seven would be my answer. You cannot keep Israel's feast day on a different calendar. And do Christians follow the rules of the first day Sabbath of journeying only about a half mile? Who could go to church? Very few. What are the biblical holy days? As Pastor Jim said in his last sermon, there are seven major feast days of the Lord in the Bible. Here are the feast days that were given only to the sons of Jacob Israel, to no other people. In the spring, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost. And in the fall, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. Now, it's in the fall for the first four, and the spring in the first three, in the southern hemisphere. Passover is the first day of each year. It occurred when Jacob Israel was in servitude to the Egyptians in the latter part of their time in Egypt, which was 215 years. Passover, the 14th day of the first month, was when the Israelites killed the Passover lamb around 3 p.m. and put its blood on their doorpost. It took place in Egypt, was fulfilled with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which took place in Jerusalem. It's fulfilled. The first day of unleavened bread took place when Israel quickly left Egypt. Nothing about the Chinese, Koreans, South Americans. Israel. The Feast of First Fruits, the 17th day of the first month. It's not a Sabbath day. It commemorates the first barley harvest, acting as a first fruit or prototype of the larger harvest to come, which Christians interpret as Jesus being the first to rise from the dead. Modern-day Christendom celebrates this day as Easter, which always occurs on the first day of the week, or Saturday, or Sunday, but many believe he rose at the end of the seventh day, or Saturday. It's fulfilled with the resurrection of Jesus in Jerusalem. The last day of unleavened bread, 21st day, occurred when Israel was in the wilderness, and when the day they went through the Red Sea when it parted. 3 more weeks, they began to eat manna from heaven. Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, or the beginning of the wheat harvest, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, always occurred on Israel's first day of the week, or Sunday, and was a double Sabbath in Jerusalem. God married Israel at Mount Sinai, and many years later, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the 3,000 Judahites at Jerusalem. The time from the giving of the law at Mount Sinai to the Pentecost in Jerusalem is generally cited as approximately 1,300 to 1,500 years. While the two events are linked by the Feast of Weeks, the latter occurred in 33 AD, marking the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Mount Zion. The first Pentecost, which occurred at Mount Sinai, which happened 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt, the Pentecost in Acts was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is fulfilled. There's the calendar showing you when Pentecost began. That leaves trumpets the first day of the seventh month. It's a warning. The shofar or ram's horn was blown. The sixth is atonement. This is very interesting. What happened? Pre-event judgment. Two goats are taken, one is sacrificed for the sins of all the Israelites. Nobody else. For 1 year. Every 7 years, all debts are canceled. Every 50 years, all debts canceled, the land returned to its original owners. All slaves were set free. What? The Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. The end of harvest celebration. God dwells with men. All of Israel enjoys the promised blessings of the kingdom of God. My conclusion. What days are the Christian holy days? Are Christians to keep Christ, Mass, and Easter? And are we to keep the seven feast days in the Bible? The first four feasts, all in the springtime in this hemisphere, were fulfilled and should be no longer be required to be kept, is my opinion. That is Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, and Pentecost. One can keep them as a time of getting together and remembering what amazing things God did with our people. And I encourage that. There's nothing wrong with having fellowship, with lots of preaching and making reacquaintances, but it cannot be kept in the same manner that our ancient fathers kept them. For example, Passover is no longer the time commanded to sacrifice a lamb, as the true Lamb of God has already made his sacrifice for his people, and there's no need for any other. Do Christians think that Christ was murdered at the same time the Passover lambs are being slain? Do they think that? When he was being killed, do you think the lambs are being slain? There were over 364 or 365 other days he could have been killed. But he died at the very same day, at the very same hour, the Passover lambs were being slain. That's phenomenal. What are the odds of that happening? Do Christians ever think that Jesus was resurrected at the same time as the Feast of First Fruits occurred? There were over 364, 365 other days in which he could have been resurrected, but he was resurrected at this very time. What are the odds of that happening? Do Christians ever think that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit occurred at the same time as the Feast of Pentecost? There were over 364, 365 other days of the year in which the Holy Spirit could have been given to his people, but it was at this very time. Do Christians ever think that Jesus was born at the same time as December 25th? But that's not the same time as any feast day. It's the day of at least 9 pagan gods' birthdays. Don't you think they would have born on one of the feast days? Probably on the Feast of Atonement. What are the odds of that happening? The last 3 holy days in the Bible were Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacles. But how does one celebrate these holy days today? They don't keep them like ancient Israel had to. Trumpets. It was a holy convocation with no regular work permitted. Priests blew ram's horns or silver trumpets to warn of judgment and gather the people. Special burnt offerings were presented, including a young bull, a ram, 7 lambs, and a goat for a sin offering. Day of Atonement. The day started with a strict fast and rest from work. The high priest entered the Holy Holies. There's no Holy Holies to enter into. Gone. To make atonement for the entire nation. 2 goats were used to cover Israel's sins. Every 7 years on this day, all debts are forgiven to Israelites. While in the 50th year, the Jubilee year, were all homes restored to the original owner. Feast of Tabernacles. People left their homes to live in temporary booths or tents for 7 days in the city of Jerusalem. Near the temple of God, which no longer exists, commemorating the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, extensive animal sacrifices were given. How can you keep these holy days as our ancient fathers did? You can't, for God's temple is no more. And animal sacrifice is no longer required. We're under a better covenant. We're under the new covenant. They can't keep looking forward to what would happen on these days, and they can't keep looking forward to what would happen on these days in the future. I have found that when individuals leave Christian identity, most are soon celebrating Christendom's 2 most popular religious holidays, Christmas and Easter. There's no number of facts. I've got dictionaries, encyclopedias, history books. It doesn't matter. There's no, you could have 10,000 facts. We'll sway them. Are many family members, friends, or acquaintances from keeping these popish or pagan holidays? Nothing that you can say will convince them that the Mass of Christ is wrong to celebrate. It's just like it was in the house of Israel many centuries ago. Elijah was at Mount Carmel, killed the priest, They went right back worshiping Baal and Ashtoreth. Tried to kill him. There is a power of the Spirit of the mass of Christ that prevails in most cases. And there's one more point to consider. Pew Research Center found that 81% of non-Christians in the United States celebrate Christ Mass, testifying to the holiday's wide acceptance. Americans who are religiously unaffiliated, that means atheists, agnostics, and people who describe themselves religiously as nothing in particular, 87% of these people celebrate Christmas. Well, people of other faiths, how about this? Asian American Buddhists, 76% of those people celebrate Christmas. Hindus, 73% of the people celebrate. And Jews, 32% also celebrate Christmas. What? How much longer till this verse comes to pass? And they, the worldwide Israel nations, cried unto the Lord and said, "We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, the Jews, descendants of Esau, Canaan, and Cain. And we, worldwide Israel nations, will serve thee, the Lord God of Israel." Everything about Passover tells you it's about Israel. Nobody else. Those are the holidays that God gave Israel. I have concluded that if you want to worship the God of the Bible, you will have to realize you are part of a very small, small remnant. And we have a large crowd today. And you must be prepared to live a life full of rejection. But you are never alone, for God is always with you if you obey Him. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.